Welcome to the 20% True Podcast, Season 2, Dubious Creatures, Episode 3, The Weird Raccoon. I'm Carolyn Rahman. No one in town had seen a tanuki before, so they all assumed it was a raccoon. Some, who got a good look at it, described it as a weird raccoon, or maybe a dog? But that was all anyone had to say about it, other than that it was rummaging around in their garbage. Monday night, Gary Heffler spotted it in his driveway. He lived just down the street from Animal Control headquarters, so he shrugged and called them. Usually he wouldn't, but they were right down the street. Maybe it had escaped from them, and he was helping them out. So Jordan Ito came out to find the weird raccoon, sure enough, going through Gary's trash. And, sure enough, it was a weird-looking raccoon. It did not care at all that he just rolled up in a big, noisy animal control truck and was walking towards it with a catch-all pole. It just kept sorting through the trash, having knocked over the green plastic trash can to spill debris across the driveway. The sorting was also weird. The raccoon seemed to be arranging the trash into piles, thinking a moment before placing each piece, like dividing up light and dark laundry. Jordan got about 5 paces from it before he stopped, waiting for it to acknowledge him. Usually he wouldn't, since sneaking up on an animal gave it less time to run away or turn around and gnaw off his face. But this time, he felt an irrational need for some acknowledgement. He cleared his throat. The raccoon looked up, blinked little beady eyes at him, and vanished. Poof! Gone! All that was left was garbage. Maybe more garbage than had been there before. Had Jordan blacked out? Had he mistaken piles of refuse for a weird raccoon? It had been a weird-looking raccoon. Had the weird raccoon dove deeper into the pile of trash? He dug around, poking first with his stick, then reaching out with gloved hands and gingerly shifting the black plastic bags. One of them burst a seam and spilled debris all over the lawn, sending Jordan leaping backwards to save his pant legs. He returned, squatting down for a closer look, inspecting the trash for hiding animals, then inspecting the piles for some clue as to how the trash was sorted. First he thought it was divided into food groups, but the cardboard threw this theory off. Then he thought maybe it was split by smell. Sweet versus savory versus rotten? He picked up a damp napkin and inhaled some of the wafting fumes. He reared back, his nose wrinkling. A throat cleared from the house, and Jordan looked up to see Gary watching him with equal parts confusion and horror. Jordan jumped up, a flush rising in his neck. He realized what he looked like, way too interested in Gary's garbage, his khakis stained and a stink permeating into his clothes. "Don't see your raccoon," he said. "Yeah," Gary said. "Me neither." He gave Jordan a pointed look like, "If the raccoon's not here, what are you doing?" Jordan hurriedly shoved the trash back into the can, righted it, shut the lid, and hurried away. He drove around for another hour, looking for the raccoon before giving up and going back to headquarters. One of the bags in Gary's garbage can shifted back into the tanuki and ate 3 slices of day-old pizza. Tuesday night, Poppy Livingston, who everyone called Miss Poppy, spotted the weird raccoon in her backyard, walking back and forth across her clothesline like a tightrope walker. Usually she wouldn't bother animal control, but what if it had rabies? It was touching her clothes. Maybe now her clothes had rabies, and she really ought to know if she should just wash her sheets again or if they needed to be burned. That was a public health issue. So Jordan came out to find the weird raccoon, sure enough, touching all of Miss Poppy's clothes. It did not care at all that he was there. It just kept walking back and forth, the line bouncing with its every step. It paused, reached down to investigate the lace on a nightgown, running its long fingers back and forth, before walking again, back and forth, pausing at a pair of pants with a floral pattern, reaching down to run its hands over the flowers, back and forth, then moving on. The touching was weird. Again, Jordan paused. The raccoon was just so bizarre. He really ought to just snag it. It was right there, in easy reach. Instead, he cleared his throat. The raccoon looked up, blinked little beady eyes at him, and vanished. Where it was standing just a second ago was a pair of underwear that hadn't been there a moment before. At least Jordan didn't remember seeing them. They were small and lacy and bright red. How had he not noticed them before? And where had the raccoon gone? Maybe it had slipped onto the other side of the clothesline, hiding its escape behind a bath towel. Jordan circled, checking the area on the other side, scanning the fence line, under the porch, behind the planters. With no luck, he returned to the mysterious underwear. They looked newer than the other clothes, and skimpier. They didn't look like they were Miss Poppy's, but then who knew? It wasn't his place to judge. But they did look out of place, almost like they weren't real. Almost like he'd never seen that color before, which was absurd. Or like they were made out of a material he'd never seen before. He brought his face closer to get a better look. Mr. Ito! Jordan jumped away and spun around to see Miss Poppy gaping at him, a hand pressed to her chest. Jordan realized what he looked like, getting up close and personal with a woman's underwear when he was supposed to be looking for vermin. Heat flamed across his face. These undies don't seem to belong to you was not an excuse, and would surely get him slapped. I can't find your raccoon, he said. Well, Miss Poppy said, a statement that held at once no information and everything Jordan needed to know. He ducked his head and hurried from the yard to hide himself in his truck, pressing his forehead to the steering wheel and covering his head with his arms. Again, once he calmed down and drove around the neighborhood, there was no sign of the weird raccoon. The red undie shifted back into the tanuki, who touched three more articles of clothing on the line before stealing two clothespins. Miss Poppy called her friend Georgina, and they talked for over an hour about how Mr. Ito had pinned a pair of skimpy panties to her clothesline. Wednesday afternoon, Rhonda Dalton spotted the weird raccoon on her patio, having made itself comfortable on her outdoor patio furniture. Usually, she wouldn't bother to call animal control, but Jordan lived right across the street, and she considered him a friend as well as a neighbor, so maybe he could come take a look for her. Shoot off? So Jordan came out to find the weird raccoon, sure enough, relaxing on Rhonda's glider. She had ducked inside earlier to put on some bug spray and had come back out to find the weird raccoon had taken her place, sitting in her chair under her umbrella, lapping at her Bloody Mary and reading her book. Sure enough, it now sat like a stuffed animal at a tea party, its belly pudging out over short splayed legs, its shoulders slumped forward while its head lolled back. Every so often it sat up and washed its hands in the Bloody Mary, plucking the sparse leaves from the celery stick and popping them into its mouth, chewing way more than was necessary. Every so often, it would reach out long fingers and turn a single page in the book. It did not care at all that Jordan was there. He paused this time because, what even? It's weird, right? Rhonda whispered, half hiding behind him. All Jordan could do was nod. The raccoon looked up, blinked little beady eyes at them, and vanished. Rhonda squeaked. Strangely enough, that squeak gave Jordan confidence. Rhonda had also seen it vanish. He eased forward, checking under the glider and behind it, looking up into the bowels of the umbrella, then backing away to check above it, leaning over the hedge behind the glider for any sign that it had escaped that way. Satisfied it was gone, he lowered his shoulders and lowered his catch-all pole. He turned to Rhonda and shrugged. Well, he said, I shoot it away for you. Her eyes were still wide. Look, I don't know what's going on here, but it seems harmless enough. He crashed to the ground. His chin hit the patio, jarring his teeth, a ring shooting up through his skull to reverberate back on itself at an incompatible frequency. He groaned, reaching for his temple to lessen the ring, then to his stinging chin. His vision had gone black but came back in blurs. Something was wrong with his legs. Rhonda's hand was on his shoulder, and she was saying something concerned. His ankles were tied together, snagged in the loop of his own catch-all pole. He thought he could hear laughing, maybe. He patched himself up back at the station with two neon green band-aids crossing his chin. When it left, the Tanuki took Rhonda's book. It was enjoying the story. It also enjoyed the Bloody Mary, but it had already finished that off, and it didn't look like Rhonda was going to bring out any more. Thursday afternoon, Jenny Selden spotted the weird raccoon at the park, in the trees next to the baseball field. Usually she wouldn't bother to call animal control, but it was a really weird-looking raccoon. Jordan considered just not going, but berated himself for being a coward and cheered himself up with the hope that this report sounded like a pretty normal raccoon sighting. So maybe it was the real deal this time, instead of whatever nonsense had been happening lately. He ignored that Jenny had specified how weird it looked. He came out to the park to find nothing. Sure enough, it looked like it was a normal raccoon that had moved along. He searched the little wooded area for tracks or leavings, for a nest or a good place for a den, but he didn't find anything. He paused and sighed. Then he headed for his truck. Honk! He froze and looked down to see that he stepped on a clown horn. The dread hit him right before something wet and thick smashed into his face. Blinded and unable to breathe, he spluttered and pawed at his face, pulling loose a foil pie tin and wiping off smears of cream pie. A sweetness danced on his tongue, out of place in its delicacy. He took a step back, slipping on another clown horn, or the same clown horn, and landing hard on his butt, onto another cream pie. All the parents at the park stared at him as he stumbled out of the trees. Some of the kids pointed at him as they were ushered away. No one could see his burning blush through the cream. The Tanuki chittered and giggled for the rest of the day, and even though everyone heard it, no one at the park bothered to call animal control. Friday night, Mayor Danfield spotted the weird raccoon outside the window of his office, sitting in a tree and staring at him. It was creepy. Mayor Danfield did not like anyone staring at him through his office window. Usually he'd just call it a night and go home instead of calling animal control, but this was getting ridiculous. He'd heard rumors of a weird raccoon and how animal control had yet to do a single thing about it. The people wanted this raccoon gone, and it was the mayor's duty to get the people what they wanted, what they needed. It reflected poorly on him that animal control wasn't doing their job, and he was animal control's boss in a way. So even if he wasn't just calling to get the raccoon to stop staring at him, with its black, bottomless eyes, he had to call to rebuke animal control for their inefficiency. So Jordan came out to town hall, because when the mayor called you, you went. And sure enough, there was the weird raccoon, sitting on a tree branch right outside the mayor's window. When Jordan walked into the room, it sat up and flailed one of its little arms, in what might have been a wave. It bared its teeth in what looked like a grin. But definitely wasn't. Couldn't be. The mayor cleared his throat. Don't you have anything to say for yourself? Jordan didn't, so he said, A flush itched its way into his ears. This beast has been terrorizing the neighborhood for a week, and you've been called in 5 times now to take care of it. He'd looked it up after calling Jordan. The raccoon had watched him the whole time. The people who pay your salary are unhappy with your work, and if I don't see some immediate improvement, I'm going to have to take appropriate actions. Jordan assumed that didn't mean the mayor was going to try to catch the raccoon himself. For God's sake, it's just a raccoon! Haven't you seen this 100 times before? Isn't this animal control 101? It's not like it's an escaped tiger. Jordan was still facing the raccoon, but the mayor had turned to berate him, and therefore couldn't see the spark of inspiration that lit on the raccoon's face. The mayor couldn't see it hop forward onto the windowsill and silently open the window. Jordan had a very bad feeling. Don't interrupt me. This is a public health hazard and you are responsible for people's safety. I am responsible for people's safety. From the window, the raccoon blinked little beady eyes at him and turned into a tiger. Jordan lifted a hand to point and the mayor felt a breeze on the back of his neck. He kept up his lecture as he turned around. And another thing. the mayor screamed. He stumbled back and pulled a chair in front of him. A low rumble shook the air around the tiger as it hopped down from the windowsill and stalked into the office, rubbing the side of its face against the corner of the mayor's desk. The mayor whimpered. The tiger's tail was thick and striped, its color scheme more shades of browns than shades of oranges and blacks. Its fur formed a dark mask over its eyes. Its feet were narrower than a usual tiger, more pointed. Not that Jordan was an expert. "I think that's the raccoon," Jordan said. "What?" the mayor said. "It's a very weird-looking raccoon."
"That's not a raccoon."
"Yeah, that's what I'm thinking."
"Well, do something!"
"Right. Well..." Jordan really didn't know what to do, so he stepped forward slowly, carefully, like he would with a possum or a stray dog. "Hey, buddy," he said. The raccoon blinked at him. Its tail twitched. "You remember me, right? We've had a fun week." The raccoon rolled its shoulders. "I'm going to take you in the truck now. Does that sound like fun?" He slipped the loop of his catch-all pole over the raccoon's head. Its lips pulled back in a snarl, and it leapt, barreling right for the mayor, who screamed and fell over backward. The pole nearly ripped from Jordan's hands, but he caught it, hauled it back. It reared onto its hind legs and roared, swiping at the air, and Jordan wrestled it from the mayor's protective chair, pinning it to the floor. It swiped at his stick, roaring a second time. It couldn't reach him, held as it was. A tiger should have snapped his pole in half and torn out his insides. But the weird raccoon wasn't putting up much of a fight. It hissed at him, then winked at him. Maybe. Maybe not. Who even knew anymore? The mayor rose from his cower, peering over his chair. His face was waxy. Is it secure? The raccoon gave a jerk which sent the mayor scurrying back.
Yeah, Jordan said. I got him.
Good, that's good. The mayor hurried to open the door for them, hiding behind it as they passed and closing it quickly after them, peering through the window of his door as Jordan dragged the howling and struggling raccoon down the hall and around the corner. The next day, the mayor told everyone he saw about the monstrous tiger beast that had leapt into his office window and threatened his life, how Jordan had saved him. As soon as the mayor left, everyone who was working late at City Hall that night, everyone who poked their heads out of the offices to see Jordan escort the animal out to his truck, rolled their eyes. That tiger beast was the meekest little raccoon pup I have ever seen. Little stripy ball of fuzz, it was kind of cute. Jordan loaded the raccoon into the back of his truck, releasing it from the catch-all pole and locking it in a cage. It was back to its usual look. Long and short and weird-looking for a raccoon. Kind of dog-like. "All right, you've had your fun," he said. "I'll drive you out of town a ways and let you loose, and I don't want to ever see you again. Got it?" The weird raccoon blinked at him. He shut the back door and drove for an hour and a half, pulling over on the outskirts of a national park. It was against regulations and probably violated a whole bunch of ordinances, but the raccoon was weird. He circled the truck to find the back door hanging open and the cage unlocked and empty. Jordan looked out into the night. He could hear laughing on the wind. Maybe. The 20% True podcast was written and produced by me, Carolyn Rahman. Music was composed by Kimiku. If you like the show, please rate and review on iTunes so new people can find it. Follow the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/20percenttrue, where you can leave comments, ask questions, and tell jokes about aspects of the Tanuki I didn't cover. Check out my website, 20percenttrue.blogspot.com, for updates, thoughts on writing, and book reviews. Or follow me on Twitter at @CarrieNTheHits. Thank you.